Hello, and welcome to That Tech Pod, where we discuss all things e-discovery, data privacy, cybersecurity, and tech innovations. I'm Laura Milstein.
And I'm Kevin Albert.
And each week, we're bringing on heavy hitters from the industry to help us break down these topics. Today, I am very excited personally to talk to today's guest. Kevin, do you want to tell everyone who I'll be chatting with today?
Phil Saunders, the Chief Executive Officer of Relativity. Phil joined Relativity as the CEO in December of 2022. He has more than three decades of operating experience in the technology industry. Phil has significant expertise in sectors germane to Relativity, including enterprise SaaS as the CEO of both Cornerstone On Demand and Saba Software, infrastructure technology in roles at Oracle and Motorola, and cybersecurity as an executive at SafeNet and Thales, which was formerly Gemalotto.
Phil, welcome to the show.
So good to be here, Laura. Nice to virtually be with you.
I mean, it's a true honor. I'm sad we're not doing this in person, but...
We actually talked about that, but we couldn't figure out how to get our calendars aligned, but we'll make that happen.
We're too busy.
Yes.
We need to prioritize these things. But before we actually talk anything Relativity, I know everyone listening probably thinks we're just going to be talking about hosting and processing. Sorry. No, we want to talk about you, Phil. So Relativity is obviously the staple when it comes to e-discovery. So to be the CEO of this, I mean, you're the CEO of the Google of e-discovery. It's a big deal. And before that, I know it was Mike Gambon. And honestly, you guys could not have different personalities.
Mike Gamson, right. Yeah, very different Gamson, people.
Yes, very different people. So how did you become the CEO of Relativity? What made you want to take this on? Tell us about that.
You think people really care about this? Because if they do, I'll dive in.
I do. I think people want to know. Like, my first thought, like, you say Google. If you were the CEO of Google, I'd be like, oh, my God, how stressful is your life? So, yeah, I think people do. I care. Tell me about
it. Well, I think probably like you and others on your team, you know, my background, a large portion of my background has been spent in information security, data protection, all things data-oriented. It's really actually where I met Silver Lake Partners, who is one of our core investors. They own a good chunk of our company. They invested a few years ago. And that's really probably where it all started back many, many years ago. I'd say 25-ish years ago. After doing information security, I ran a couple of other companies that were really that on-premise software to SaaS journey. One was private, one was public. The second one was also a Silver Lake partner investment as a public company. So there's some ties in if you can try to just read the tea leaves. There's a Silver Lake partner angle here. I would also say that I had the opportunity to meet Andrew Saja, who, as I'm sure you know, is our founder and really the godfather or godperson of a lot of things e-discovery. And that conversation really changed things for me personally. It was a very passionate dialogue that ran many hours, and it really distinguished Relativity from other things I was thinking about doing. He's a very unique founder. And for someone like me who wants to go run something, that founder relationship with an operating team really matters. And it really, really felt strong to me. And then probably the icing on the cake was I went incognito to the 2022 Relativity Fest thinking, let me just see what the reality is of the customer and partner base. And it was really, really telling for me, but that was a big part of it. So it was a real gift for me to be selective. And I felt like the fit was really solid. And that was super exciting.
Do you think e-discovery is boring?
You know, it's really funny you use that line. I listened to your podcast from a couple of weeks ago that you and Kevin ran. It was only a 20-minute podcast, but there was a line in there that I think either you or your Cogley mentioned that said, well, e-discovery is boring, but we're also boring, which I thought was pretty self-aware or just self-abusive. I don't. And the reason why I say I don't is because I think e-discovery is understating what is the reality of what's happening with our customers and partners and the real use cases they're running. So do I think the EDRM process is super exciting? No, I think it's very telling. But I think and we're going to get into this, I'm sure, today. I think not what just Relativity does, but frankly, what our market, our ecosystem is doing is a heck of a lot more than what core e-discovery was prescribed to be.
I keep thinking about just when you say, like, I don't think it's boring. And I'm like, it's so, e-discovery is one of those things where, like, it's boring, it's not boring, or what is it? or how much has it changed, or what has it become, or what will it become? And so that's bringing me back to, again, you're the CEO of the eDiscovery world. What does that even mean? Like, where are you guys going to go? What's going to happen? Are you nervous?
Definitely not nervous, but super excited. I think, again, let's be super transparent with the audience. It's not like I was born and raised in eDiscovery. Some folks in our ecosystem and market certainly have been. They've been in the market for many, many years. It's been a year and a half for me. But I would say that if you're not just, quote unquote, checking a box and doing the job, and you really immerse yourself in it, you learn pretty quickly that it's actually not just, quote unquote, eDiscovery. It's not just a traditional review process. When you think about use cases that our customers live with and our partners are implementing, like, let's be clear, we are a partner-centric model. The applications, use cases, and workflows scream a lot more than eDiscovery. We're talking about, I mean, think about a FOIA or a DSAR request. Think about a second request. Think about contract review, divestitures, data breach. That's not boring stuff. This is like mission critical use cases that the enterprises are contending with day in and day out. The myriad of data types is exploding, let alone the volume, but the myriad of data types is exploding. And if you're in the business, if you're someone like Relativity that is touching or being an integral part of this ecosystem, if that's boring to you, you should really do some serious meditation.
I want to know what keeps you up at night. Just hearing this, I mean, tell us.
Well, first of all, what keeps you up at night is, what am I going to eat for breakfast? Because I'm a big eater, which is not a proud moment.
No,
the lines are blurred for me, candidly, Laura. You know, this is where work becomes personal and my personal life becomes work, which I think is a good thing. I think this whole idea, you know, not separating work and life is really hard. I think balance is really key. For me, what keeps me up at night is, am I a good human being? Am I a good person? Am I making a positive impact on people? Am I making a lasting impact on what we're doing? That is a very blurred line for me personally, in my community and at work. And perhaps it's ageism, perhaps it's because I'm not a spring chicken anymore. But I think those two things could certainly coincide. And that keeps me up at night. What keeps me up at night is the sheer amount of opportunity out there. And am I getting it all right? Am I, as someone that has a significant amount of responsibility, not just at Relativity, but in our market, am I missing something? Is there something I don't know that I should be knowing? And I think you have to be thoughtful of that. I think if you feel like you're not thoughtful of that, or you're just doing a job, you're just doing a job, you should probably tap out. That stuff keeps me up at night in a really positive way.
That's fair. I heard you have a family. So just...
Yes, I do.
Just to ask a little bit about that, how do you find the work-life balance? I mean, you're coming in here working at the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Do you feel like that takes away from your family time?
I don't. Perhaps mostly because as a person of maturity, right, as a guy that's getting older, my kids are 30, 27, and 25. So by the way, all in tech with no nudging or LinkedIn help for me. But I can immerse myself at work and not feel like I'm sacrificing. I think it's a perfect time to grind in my life. I do carve out time for myself. I think it's really important. So that is, you know, my 5 a.m. time. It's my time that I'm very selfish with to take care of things that I think are most important, to build a strong foundation. But no, I think I have a really good balance. I really try to spend my weekends learning and growing, listening to podcasts, yours, reading articles, reading books. Those things are really a good complement to me on the weekend. But no, I think I have I think balance equals scale. I have lived the day of where I wasn't balanced, and then you hit the wall, and that's really not an ideal scenario.
All right. I do have a follow-up for that, but first I got to ask, sure. I mean, you look fit. You look like you really like hit the gym. What's your, do you do a pre-workout? Do you do a post-workout? What's your secret?
Definitely morning workout for me. Convince myself that I'm going to go later, I'm lying to myself. So again, that early wake up, that is a very selfish time for me. It's not to bore your listeners, but it's everything from breathing exercises to meditation / prayer to then really hitting the gym or hitting the dojo or anything that requires you to be utterly present, where if you're not present, you could injure yourself. And I think that's a really important place for me personally, someone that is super not just, you know, emotionally hyperactive, but chemically ADHD. For me, getting that time is a really important way to foundationally start the day.
I love that. I do think most CEOs are morning people, or most, there's like so many of these studies that are like the most successful people wake up early. And I'm like, well, I mean, they're just trying to get, how do you not?
Yeah.
Just to kind of balance
that. I feel about these CEOs that, hey, listen, you know, sleep is for the dead and I work 20 hours a day. So that's interesting. But again, I think about scale. For me, I'm really effective 7 to 6, maybe 7 to 7 at best. At 7:30, I could probably bang out an expense report and that's about it. Like if you want to have a strategically aligned dialogue about e-discovery or data governance or where we think the market's going, that's not a 7:30 p.m. call for me. And by the way, I am paws up at 9 p.m. So that's just the reality.
Me too. But then I'll get like a second wind. I'll just wake up depending on the day. And I'm like, let's go. And
You'll get older too. That won't happen in a couple of years.
Do you like pickle juice?
That's a really weird question,
yeah,
Laura.
I know.
I like pickles. I don't like pickle juice.
You should try it after working out. Just take a shot of pickle juice. I just have to recommend it. Take a shot of pickle juice after you work out and your life is going to be changed for the better. Like who just drinks pickle juice? No one, but just take a shot after you work out. Highly recommend it. Just have to put that out there for everyone listening.
Super
you should try
awkward.
It. Yeah. Okay. Getting a little bit back on track because pickle juice may not be there. Let's talk about some of the other players in the space without talking about the other players.
Sure.
I know that Relativity, as a whole, you guys very much don't insult other players out there, which to me personally is amazing. If you have to insult your competitors, I mean, you shouldn't have to. You don't even need to acknowledge them because you're a different breed, but never put people down in any form because there's just no reason. So I love that about you guys, but I do want to know, are they on your radar? Do you ever think about them? Do you not? Are you worried about any of your competitors? Do you even have competitors? Do you even consider yourself?
We absolutely do. And we should get back to this 800-pound gorilla thing. You said it earlier and it kind of stuck in my head a little bit. But to answer your question directly, specifically, of course I do. I think what makes a great market is competition. If we were the only player in the market, that's not a really exciting market because it screams volumes of the fact that it's not exciting, transforming and growing that attracts competition. I embrace competition in sport, in physical fitness and martial arts, as well as at work. I think it makes you better. When I say you, it makes you as an individual, makes our colleagues here at Relativity, makes our company better, and ultimately serves the customer and the partner best. So it sounds like mom and apple pie. On a stack of Bibles, I mean it. And we absolutely have competition. They're not standing still. They're doing some pretty exciting things. Some were born and raised in the cloud. Some are growing by slamming together a bunch of companies. And some are startups that are doing things that, you know, you can do today that you literally couldn't do 24 months ago because there wasn't a Microsoft Azure instance that allowed you to spin up a GPT environment. So answer, hell yes. I'm absolutely thoughtful of our competition. We listen. I mean, I spend a lot of time in the field, virtually and physically in the field, listening to customers and partners who use our competitors' offerings. And I want to know. I want to know the truth. I think part of the challenge with my role, or not to get off track, is that organizational teammates and even the market at times will think that we want to hear a certain thing. And I actually want the opposite of that. I want to know the truth. You know, I think Winston Churchill had a group, I can't remember the name, but it was a special department that he actually employed because he didn't want to be filtered only positive information. He wanted to be told what's really going on the ground. I think that's what makes you a better company. So I think about it all the time, not out of paranoia, but out of sheer interest and intrigued to understand what they're doing. And are we doing the right things? Are we the Wayne Gretzky? Are we going where the puck is going to be? Or are we just so dug into where we are? And all those things rumble through mine and I think our heads here at Relativity on a regular basis.
I really like your transparency. That is where I think a lot of CEOs lack in this industry. So we run a very exciting podcast, as you may know, because eDiscovery is so not boring and it's the best. And when we're talking and bringing on guests, we're always trying to filter out who is going to give us real non-biased information. And that's why we don't bring a lot of CEOs from different eDiscovery companies, because we've talked to some of them And what you're getting is that we're the best. We're really AI driven. We're the only ones out there. And so I love that response where you're saying, hey, I acknowledge there are other competitors and this is why it's important. And I agree. If you were the only one, how boring. Right. But then I look at Amazon and I'm like, who else delivers food or not items? But I want to also go back to the 800-pound gorilla since you're thinking about it. Do you not think that relativity is the 800-pound gorilla in the room?
I just think that phrase brings with it so much baggage. And what I mean by that is it kind of, depending on the listening ear, and there's many out there in your network, they could view that as a level of they're the big and only, and there's a level of arrogance and approach. And I think we're literally the darn opposite of that. I can't speak for my predecessors' thoughts and processes, but I can tell you that I think there's a tremendous responsibility to be a notable player in the market. And I've been blessed in my career to be a notable or one of the notable players in a market. And I do think we are a notable player here, for sure. Like to say we're not, I think would be ignorant. However, I think we're really a reflection of our market. And I've said this out loud to anyone that would listen, including my own teammates here, which is let's not go astray. We are a large, growing, transforming company. In no small part, because we're a reflection of what's happening in our market. The market is growing. It's actually not evolving. It's effing transforming, right? Again, data growth. We're seeing all that at Relativity, and therefore we're growing with it. So this whole 800-pound gorilla thing sounds like it carries a level of quote-unquote leverage or arrogance, and I just don't. It's not how I feel in my bones. It's not how we operate this business. And I don't want anyone to think that is the way we think here. I love being, as we talked about with competition, I want to be thoughtful. I want to understand what we're missing. Like, what aren't we doing right? Do we understand our customers' workflow, or are we just building a platform and, hey, have at it? Like, that worry, that concern, that thought that our partner or customer's use case in a data breach environment or with short message and audio video, like, are we serving that well? I don't know if an 800-pound gorilla stays up at night thinking about that stuff.
All right, I'll change it. You guys are like an 80-pound Bernese Mountain Dog. They're beautiful. Everyone loves them. They're just happy to be there, and they're just crushing it. Just I love.
I think
Bernese
it's more
Mountain
like
Dogs,
Bruce Lee, like lightweight, strong, agile. I'm sorry. You know, too weird. Too weird. Yeah, sorry.
No, I love it. Let's talk AI. So we're talking e-discovery. We're talking changes. Let's talk AI. What are you guys doing? Do you have any new announcements? Anything you want to share? What advancements are going on? How do you feel about it? And I just want to put out there that I have mixed feelings. I think a lot of companies love to say AI, and it's not. It's not true AI, or it is, but it's not as exciting. I want to know, like, how do you actually feel about the advancement of AI? Is that something you guys are really doing? Are you calling it that, but it's actually keyword searching? What's the truth?
The truth is, and again, I don't think I'm the only one that has this opinion. I may be, if you think some of those things, you're going to really despise me, because I think I'm sure I stole it from someone. I'm sure I didn't invent it, but I think it's as big as the internet. Like, I think it's that big of a thing, and I don't think it's getting smaller. Like, this is not a nuanced, cool way of accomplishing something. Large language models are going to change everything, like literally everything, and they're going to get bigger, better, stronger. And unless you're principled in how you employ and deploy them, there are things that can be concerning. But I take it very, very seriously. To give you a sense of how serious we take it, one of the things that comes along with size in a market is your ability to spend more. If my math is sort of close to right, I think we spend more than our next three or four competitors combined in total. So we have the gift of a board and a set of owners, including our founder, Andrew Sajid, that believes in reinvesting in the business. I personally put my own money in it. And a big chunk of that was already in AI, ML, analytics, all the things, to your point, that you can kind of miscue as AI, but it's clearly some AI form. I will tell you, over the last 14 months, we have increase that budget significantly from, so you know, I would say a third of our spend to well over 40%. Like, it's gone up significantly. We're investing significantly in it because it's so embedded in everything that we're doing, whether it be from processing or review or priv or case strategy. I mean, think about the myriad use cases. And I think, unlike some others, we're not just creating a kind of cool Copilot. And I'm not here to promote our stuff, but we have innovated in a, I think, a really cool name called AIR, AI here at Relativity, and in a number of, I think, very pointed, purposeful use cases that are having tangible impact on the results across a bunch of very specific use cases, including just QC. So yes, I think AI is super big. I don't think I'm actually really thoughtful about not over marketing it. I actually want to have our say-do ratio really well aligned, meaning what we say and what we do, that ratio should be super correlated, as opposed to a bunch of press releases that have not a lot of meat. And so I'm really excited about it. I would love, if you really want to nerd it out, you and some of your colleagues, we can show it to you and prove it. Like, we are making demonstrable impact, and I'm really excited about it. And it, frankly, again, it's another part of the responsibility I think we have as a large player to actually listen and serve our customers and partners' needs. And I think AI is critical.
I'm still waiting for my Relativity Air Jordans. So that's 5.5.
So, well, that's a very, very special gift. And then I have to know your shoe size. It's really big. That might be awkward.
5.5 women's. Just putting that out there. I want you guys to incorporate blockchain into e-discovery. And I'm just putting out there that I feel like that would really be a route that you should go. But I agree, what you guys are doing when it comes to AI is exciting. And I love that you not only are aware of it, but are so passionate about, hey, I'll prove it to you. We'll show it to you. Yeah. But what I am curious about, and just to take a step back. So if you look at Hinge, the dating app, their slogan is Hinge, the app made to be deleted. And their whole thing is because, come on, find love and then delete the app. But if everybody actually found love and deleted the app, they don't exist because you need more clients. So what about with you guys? Are you worried about shrinking the billable hour for your customers and then it's going to almost be against you guys? Like, how do you feel about making advancements that almost make it too good?
I love that question because, by the way, it gets talked about over a dinner conversation or a bottle of wine with either friends, family, or colleagues and customers and partners. I have a conviction, which is really a hypothesis, right, based on experiences and some data, that says I actually think all of the AI out there is going to create more data, more evidentiary, useful versus obsolete data. And frankly, just use Copilot. Like, that's not evidentiary, right? Think about if you are recording the session, that video isn't perhaps something that could be used as something in a dispute. Hopefully not this conversation. So we and I personally am not worried about it. What I would say is, do I think it's going to transform how companies run today? It could. Will it transform how an attorney works day in and day out? I think it will. But I think it's sort of like, if you remember the book from the 90s, The Innovator's Dilemma, like, as a market player, for us to ignore that this is happening and following the blockbuster model, right? Like, Netflix doesn't exist. I think that's a failing model. I think we need to immerse ourselves in it. And I think by doing so, we're going to be bigger, better, and more valuable as a result. I never, ever thought back, hey, I really want to be a CEO one day. I just wanted to continue to have a lasting impact on things and touch different technologies and applications and functions. In fact, I think leading and managing people is probably my least favorite skill, because it actually insulates me from having a direct positive impact on a particular thing. Now, of course, when you try to scale a company, I realize I can't do all that, which is where the leadership side comes into, but it's not my first thought. And I think, along the similar lines, are we just in a mundane market doing mundane things, or is the landscape and the land we stand on literally shifting underneath us, like moving tectonic plates. And I think it is, Laura. I think one of the things that we're a part of that we actually are announced, we just have announced, is this whole initiative around legal data intelligence, acronym LDI. And I think it really is this opportunity to reframe what it is, not just that what we at Relativity put us aside, but what our customers, our law firms, our service providers, our enterprise customers are doing day in and day out that is so much more than traditional e-discovery. That excites me. That whole idea of figuring out how to reframe and modify the language and work with our market on it, not take credit for it, but be part of something bigger than us. Like, that to me excites me. And I think because of, frankly, our size and our interest, those two things have to go together. We can do things that, frankly, I think others won't have the mind share or wallet or dedication to.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why Relativity is so exciting to me. You guys came out the gate, you became the staple, the mindset, to the point where now there are competitors out there. There are people that are, you know, what do they say? Being a, you know, a copycat is like the biggest form of flattery or whatever. Right. And it's awesome. It's exciting. But I also like that you guys are doing things. You're incorporating AI, you're incorporating data breach solutions, and you're not kind of sitting in the past. So tell me more about like industry trends and how do you stay on top of that? When will you be incorporating my blockchain into it? Just kidding with that one. But
I think it requires, especially for quote unquote a newbie to the space, I have to work harder, pedal faster than people that have been doing it forever. I think the one slight advantage I have because of my newness is it makes me hungry. It requires me to look at things perhaps through a fresh pair of lenses that say it's not just an EDRM thing, or to your point about data breach, like it's not just another use case, right? Like how our platform performs in that based on data sizes and timeliness of that use case that is required requires us to think differently. Do we have the right people? Can we train or do we have to go higher? Like it's a $2 to $3 billion market. And if we're going to go get our fair share of it, do we want to just be okay at it? Or do we want to earn the right to be the very best at it? That mindset in this world of legal data intelligence and this LDI initiative is actually widening the aperture and forces me to study more, spend more time asking a lot of questions of our customers and partners, because some of them are experts at it, at some of these use cases, and then making sure we have a very fast flywheel feedback loop inside the company to determine, are we spending our money in the right places, not just in AI, of course, but in other areas that we need to build more type 2 muscle fiber to give us the strength to lift large buildings.
I love that. And when we're talking about, everyone listening is probably like, why is she such a fangirl? I am. Yeah. I love Relativity. I think what you guys are doing is awesome. I'm a big fan of yours. But it's also one of my favorite things about Relativity is you do have the right people. And not only do you bring in the right people, but you value your employees. I've interviewed people at basically every e-discovery company. And I've asked, like, do you like working there? Why'd you leave? Why'd you go to the next one? And yours, Relativity, is the only e-discovery company that everyone's like, I love it. I love the, like, just the day-to-day. I love the people. I love the management. It's the only company where people have said that they feel like they're making a difference and being respected at the same time. And to me, that is says you're doing something right. As somebody who has worked in e-discovery for a really long time, and again, who's running this podcast, so clearly a very exciting human over here, it is interesting to see the difference and really knowing that being at a company that you feel valued makes the difference, because then you want to work harder for that company. And you're right. You guys have the money. You have the size. If you have the same values and your team is moving forward, you're unstoppable. But it does lead me to want to know about you specific. So yeah. You see the company is growing. The company is making these changes. That's a lot more responsibility on you as the CEO. Sure. So what's your future? What does that look like?
Well, there's so much in there, Laura. So just a couple of things. One is what you're poking at a bit and starting to use the overused phrase, but culture really matters, right? A culture and a value system inside a company really matters. And when a company goes through a phase with Androsasia for many, many years. And then they bring in Mike Gamson. And then a few years later, a guy like Phil Saunders comes along. That change is really hard for people. We're different personas. We manage and think differently. And so I'm hyper thoughtful of making sure that our people are very much engaged and intertwined with everything we do. It doesn't mean we get it all right, but I want them to know what I know. Like I want our customers and partners to know. I want you to know what we know. There's really, it allows us to move faster. And so I think our culture and our care, and this wasn't all invented by me, right? I think before I showed up, we had a very, very strong focus on IDB DEI, not because it was checking a box, because we actually effing care. I think our having people bring their whole self to work, being transparent, being authentic, to the hell with hierarchy, unless it's serving a purpose, our customer and partner centricity, like these things, you can't fake it. You got to mean it. And I think our employees really know that. I'm not saying we're perfect. I think there's so much going on in the company. My biggest challenge is making sure we are informing our people along the way so that they know what we and the board know. But I take that responsibility really seriously, and culture absolutely matters. I think I got lost here, but I think you asked what's next for...
Yeah, what's next for you? I mean, you talk a lot about, and we know, AI, data breach, the things that are coming. Yeah. You even talked about the new initiative, oh, yeah, which is really exciting that you guys are a part of. And you just, I believe you actually just facilitated that at Clock. So we should talk about that for a second as well. But yeah, I want to know what's next for you. Are you going to stay here? What are you going to do? What's happening?
Yeah, I love that question. You know, it's funny. People always want to know what's next for Relativity, which I'm sure you're going to hit me with. But for me personally, like what's next is like right here and now. Like if that makes any sense, which is, you know, someone once made a statement to me that they said, you know, how do you get from Jersey to California? 200 feet at a time, like wherever your headlights see you. And it's not that you shouldn't have a strategy, or some of our competitors call their H1 versus their H2, like horizons. But we do have a very clear strategy, and we revisit it each year. We'll be doing that again starting this summer. But what matters most to get to next is really right now. And I think being present in the moment, being really good stewards of our business is really, really critical for me. So for me, I'm not going anywhere. Like I think I said to this at the last board meeting, because, you know, in a board meeting, you have your board session, it's sort of like an NS sandwich. You know, they say, hey, by the way, you did a really good job. Your team did all this stuff great. You're really handsome. That part's a joke. Then they tell you, here's a few things that you should do better. Here's what we didn't see, blah, blah. And then at the end they say, oh, by the way, did we tell you? You did such a great job. You're really handsome. That is called the S sandwich. You can imagine what the S stands for. And as part of that conversation, by the way, that's every board meeting, not just every board meeting is like, that's part of their job to give proper feedback. And what I would always say, I said it in the last two board meetings, you'd have to rip me out of this place. Like you couldn't get me out of here. Like bring a bulldozer, because I am now, it's gone from being sort of a job to like really personal. And I think it should be personal. And I want our people to feel like it's personal and passionate. So for me is right here, right now, and building a really good company and being super proud of it. That's what's in it for me. As I said, I'm a personal investor. No, I'm not Androsasia, but I did invest in the company, and maybe there's a subconscious lean there, but I don't think it's about the dollar. I think it's about just a passion of getting it right.
I mean, that was pure poetry. I was like,
it's really true, by the way. Like, I know that sounds like I scripted it, but I'm literally not looking at anything. I mean it in my bones.
Now, for everyone listening, I wish that everyone could see you right now. You're very animated and very, you can feel it. Like you all out there, he's serious. He looks like he is about to be like, I got to go right now because I love Relativity. And I do think that my vision of you in the morning, like I visualize you jumping out of bed, fist pumping the air and just saying, let's go, Relativity, and then starting your day. Just so you know what I think.
A couple swear words in there, but yes, something like that. Yes,
I love it. Before I let you go, because you've been amazing, and I don't have any more Relativity questions. I wanted to know about you, Phil. You were the reason that I wanted to bring you on. We all know Relativity. If you don't, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast. It's weird. And if you didn't, and you are, thank you. Reach out to me. Let's talk about it. But before I let you go, can you tell us a little bit more that you mentioned earlier about the initiative that you guys were facilitating at Clock that just happened last week. Tell us about that.
You know, it's an initiative that kicked off. I joined the company a year and a half ago, and it was sort of just, I think, just bubbling about then. And I had the opportunity and the honor to kind of immerse myself in it. One of our, who's now a former employee, now a CEO of his own company, Omar Haroon, started working with a bunch of industry colleagues, corporate enterprise colleagues, law firm colleagues, you know, what we call innovators, legal service provider. A big part of our go-to-market, of course, is working collectively with our partners. And this initiative was all around the fact that we just have a belief that we're not aptly capturing what we do in the frame up of EDRM and e-discovery. I think we all acknowledge that every legal challenge has a legal data challenge. And we all know that there is all of this, what we call, what the initiative and the colleagues in LDI call sun data, this sensitive, useful, necessary data amidst all this rot data, this redundant, obsolete, trivial, non-triggering data, right? There's masses of analysis of petabytes. I think there's 130, 140 million, Kevin will know this, I'm sure, petabytes of data out there in the world. How much of it is really trigger or sensitive, useful, necessary data? And then how do we go to work on that data? What are the proper processes for a data breach response or some sort of legal matter workflow versus a contract lifecycle management? Like, very different use cases requiring very different judo and jujitsu skills as a practitioner in the space. And so I think we think that the vernacular needs to be reflective of what's really happening and where we're going, as opposed to where we were. And I think that sort of, in a really clumsy way, because I'm not a marketer, defines the legal data intelligence initiative, right? It's not something that we're trying to capture as just a relativity thing. It's not a relativity one platform push. It is a reflection of and the excitement about what our ecosystem is doing and properly calling it out. And then setting up a landscape, and by the way, we have a website for it, we'll share all this with you, where we can really take our market to a new level. And that's where that humble responsibility comes with. If you're going to be a major player in the market, get your fingerprints on it and make a darn difference. Be reflective of what, not what you're doing, but what your customers and partners are doing. And then you'll get the benefit of growth and value and all the other stuff that I get paid to do, ultimately. But that's an outcome. It's not the start. Does that make any sense?
It makes so much sense, except for when you said how much data and use like petabytes. I mean, it would be like zettabytes. Yeah. It would be like the most ever. You just gotta make it bigger, as big as relativity. But yes, it makes so much sense. I think everything that you said today was somewhat informative, somewhat intriguing, but none of it was boring. You took e-discovery and you said, I'm not going to make it boring today. And that is why I'm happy you came on the podcast. My number one.
Well,
reason.
I'm really appreciative of the time. Seriously, I don't do these things. As you can Google around, you don't see me on any. I think this is like my first podcast. And I think, Laura, you and I talked sort of unofficially off the record a couple months ago. And I'm not in the market of doing podcasts. I'm just here to try to build a really good business for our customers and partners. And so this conversation, frankly, is just really a lot less about me. I appreciate it. I appreciate that you care, but it's really more about what we're doing. And I listened to your and Kevin's last FOIA podcast, where you actually called yourself boring because the e-discovery space is boring. I hope our listeners understand that, I'm last in to the market. I'm only a year and a half in. It's anything but boring. Like, it just is. It's not.
Phil. Boring is beautiful. Awesome. Boring is beautiful.
Boring schmoring.
It's just how you take it.
Yeah.
No, you're completely right. And that's why we do this. That's why we podcast. That's why we talk about it. Because we want people to see that e-discovery doesn't have to be boring. And I'm honored if this is the first podcast you've ever been on. And I hope it's your last, just so we can have that prime moment together. But I very much appreciate you coming on today. I think our listeners are going to gain a lot from today's episode. So, Kevin, I just spoke with Phil Saunders, the CEO of Relativity. I think we learned a lot today. Before I give my thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. What'd you think? What were your tech takeaways?
I think it was really good. I liked how reflexive he was and how introspective he was. You can tell he really cares. He really thinks a lot about, what's going on. He's not just a guy sitting in an office with a dark room with a big cigar, running the evil empire or anything like that. You can tell he really is in it and he cares. And so I thought it was really good. I thought his answer is about the 800-pound gorilla and how he really still tracks, where they go and how they deal with their competitors and kind of being mindful and having a pulse on the industry, I thought was really interesting as well. You think about them as kind of being this big ship that's impossible to turn, but he really makes it sound like they have the ability to pivot and he likes having the ability to refocus and things like that. And so I thought that piece of it was really interesting. I think it's kind of, him talking about what's next for him is really interesting as well. Cause you do sort of assume there's a point in his life where he gets to the point where he just got it and you're like, I'm done. But he was like, I'm in it. And, I liked how that kind of all came together. So I really enjoyed this episode. I'm really glad he came on. What about you? What are your tech takeaways?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I love him as a person. Obviously, we all know I love Relativity, but I don't always know what to expect when talking to a CEO. And he's just so much more, he's humble. He's just better than you would expect. He is, honestly, I think the biggest fear with him as a CEO is that he's too much of himself, which is the best because he's so unapologetically real.
And very genuine.
And very genuine. And you don't see that. I mean, Kevin and I have, we've worked together. We've been with CEOs that just were the opposite of that. It's what you see is not what you get. I just really think that with him, what you see is what you get. And that's my favorite part. And I think that actually is what you get with Relativity. I also think Relativity doesn't come out here and say, we can do everything. They say, here are the things we can do. And we believe we do them the best. And that is the most important thing at any company. I hate a company that's like, well, what do you need? We can do it. Sure, you can, but it's not necessarily going to be the best. So why don't you just talk to me about what you can do? It's like a restaurant that only serves 5 items. I know it's going to be better than a restaurant that hands me a book. But all around, Kevin, I just thought he was great. I really loved that he came on. I am excited for Relativity to continue to grow. They're obviously not going anywhere. I'm excited to see Phil's future in the company and just everyone's future at the company. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with the initiative that he was sharing with us today. So if you are also excited about Relativity, if you want to learn more about them as a company, if you want to learn more about Phil, or if you want to just talk to us, reach out to us at contact@thattechpod.com. Head on over to our website, www.thattechpod.com, to enter your email to subscribe and stay a part of what we're doing. If you have social media, we do too. You can find us on linkedin.com/thattechpod and possibly a few other social media platforms that we are just not up to date on.
And don't forget to go to wherever you get your pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or what have you, and leave us a rating, give us a review. All that is really helpful for us with the algorithms and gets us out there so that we can do more pods in the future. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.